We're here on the show floor of the National. The show is still being set up behind us, but today, Teapot and I are going to tell you the cards we're hunting for and the cards we're going to avoid at this year's National and why. The Jeff Wilson Show is brought to you by Arena Club, the official home of Slab Packs. Now available every day, Slab Packs offer an exciting way to collect graded cards with confidence. Plus, every pack comes with an instant offer to buy your slab. Don't miss out. Explore the latest Slab Packs and more by downloading the Arena Club app. Just search Arena Club in the App Store and use promo code SCI for 20% off your first purchase. All right, Teapot, what does it feel like to be back at the National? The show is opening soonish. We still got a little bit of setup work going on behind us. How excited are you about this year?
I'm really pumped. We've been setting up the last couple of days, and it's all coming together. Stuff's getting hung. We're close. We're really close. It starts tomorrow, and I am super pumped to actually, I'm like intentionally walking by booths, not looking right now, because we got more work to do, and I can't lose focus.
You want to be surprised.
Yeah, I want to just, when it's time, I'll go look.
Yeah, and of course, by the time people are watching this, it will be later today that it will be opening up on Wednesday, of course, and we've got full coverage of it on our Sports Card Investor channel. I know you're going to do a video on the Market Movers channel, or maybe multiple videos.
We'll do a few.
Tons of coverage coming out. But what I wanted to talk about today, I didn't want this to just be another National preview episode, because we've done those in the past.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about today actually what the strategy is going to be.
Yeah.
Because the market, it's in a tough place right now for buyers. It's in a great place for sellers. A great place. I mean, seems like every iconic card, or every card of a, you know, all-time great or Hall of Famer, has doubled, you know, over the last several months. So if you've got some of those cards and you want to sell or trade, you're in great shape. But if you want to buy, it becomes trickier.
Yeah.
It becomes more challenging this year, in my opinion, than ever before. This is a more difficult buying year, certainly than we've seen over the last, you know, four Nationals, where, you know, you could find deals easier. The deals are going to be harder to come by this year. So I want to dive into kind of the strategy, like what we're looking for, what we're, you know, what we're going to try to find. And so I'm going to start with a big question. And that is, Teapot, if you can only leave this year's National with one card, what card do you want that to be?
All right, is this like we're dreaming and I could just leave with any card? Or is this like realistic within the bounds of what I might actually leave with?
Maybe give me a little bit of both.
Okay, all right. So if I'm just starting and dreaming big, we talked about this on Cards on the Table last week. I think those new dual back-to-back award winners patch autos are insane. I said that Ohtani, I think, is the greatest card I've ever seen. The Scooble is in the mix, and I love him. Even though I think he's going to get traded, I'm still going to root for him. I still love watching him pitch. He's one of my favorite pitchers to watch, so I'd be really excited about that. There's a couple other cards that, even if I could see one here in person, I would really like it. The 1998 Precious Metal Gems Barry Sanders with the lion in the background. The Gem Masters sold, I think, last year. I would actually just rather have the number to 50, like, scope effect one. It's such a cool card. The 97 Star Rubies Barry Sanders is a beautiful card with the blue. The one that's eluded me, and I missed it on eBay a year and a half ago, is the 2021 Gold Kaboom Barry Sanders. And I might be priced out of those now. I would definitely have to do some work and consolidate some stuff to get to pick one of those up and rationalize it. But that would be at the high end of, like, if I saw one here, I might have to make some moves to try to get that one into my PC. There's only 10 of them, and I think most of them are locked up in collections now.
So historically, I have always been not a big fan of buying the cards of, you know, guys who are retired that are coming out in these new case hit sets and everything like that. Because I would say, like, well, you know, Barry Sanders, I mean, they could continue to make cards of him every single year.
Yeah.
However, it's interesting, that card in particular, because Panini lost the license. They no longer have the license. So even if Panini chooses to make another Barry Sanders Kaboom in the future, it will be an unlicensed Kaboom.
Yeah.
So we can now definitively say that's the only Barry Sanders licensed gold Kaboom. There will never be another. There will only ever be those 10.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I actually do like that card. Yeah, I think that's a good buy.
I think it has some staying power, and I love those gold Kabooms. Yeah. I think they look fantastic. I have the regular one. I have the 2021 just regular Kaboom. So if I were to find the gold, I'd probably move the regular one along with some other stuff. And I'm not, I like post-playing days cards all right. I get why people don't go after them. Like I set my own hobby PC boundaries and rules, and I completely understand why other people set that one, but that would be a pretty, pretty cool one.
I've had to set that one in my own collection because they continue to come out with Tim Tebow in basically every new card set, it seems. I mean, he's been in Prism, you know, the last several years, Prism draft picks, as well as even regular Prism. And he's now in Topps Chrome. Yeah. They got Topps Chrome Tebow cards. Yeah. So it's like there's so much Tebow that it's like continuing to try to like chase all of his one of ones every year and everything. It's like, man, they're going to continue to put this guy in sets for the next like 50 years.
He's so over like, here on the wall for Panini with the color blast. I know. Like literally right next to us.
So I've had to limit my scope of like a guy like Tebow in terms of what I'll buy. Playing day stuff, I go after all that. Post playing day stuff, I will only now buy it if I really love the card, like I do on one of the color blasts, because I really love the card design, but I'm not going to try to buy his, you know, blue out of 199 every single year it comes out or whatever. Yeah. I just can't. It's just too many. Okay, I'm going to answer the question by saying I've been getting more and more into insert sets, complete insert sets. So I'm going to say that the card that I would be looking for would be a complete set of one of the kind of coveted inserts that I'm after. So I really wanted to buy a complete set of Dunkin' Go Nuts at Fanatics Fest.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with the guy on price.
Yeah.
If I see one of those here for a slightly more reasonable price point, I'm gonna go for that. I mean, the Multi-Metal Fusion Titaniums I love, but that set with the Jordan in it, at that point, that sets upwards of $1 million.
Yeah.
Probably not gonna pick that up here, but I really would like to find the 2018 football Donruss Downtown complete set, because those are actually that was the first year of football downtowns.
Yeah, they're rare.
Way more rare than what people think.
They are.
The optics from that year are a lot more common, but the base Donruss way more rare. Or the 2016 Donruss Downtowns from basketball, because that's, you know, where the downtowns actually started that year. 2013 Kaboom. These will all be sets that I would love to pick up. So hopefully by the time the week's over, I've located one of those on the show floor and have picked that up, and that will be like something I'm really happy to bring home.
Well, you know, I'll keep my eyes peeled. I think the early case hit stuff from Panini is a play. Like,
yeah,
we've talked about that.
Yep.
The newer stuff is still very popular, at least right now. I have some thoughts on that I think we'll get into, but the early stuff is like, yeah, some of these cards are like, you know, total pop 33 out in the wild, and they're tough.
People are sleeping on the first 2 years of Stained Glass.
Yeah.
From back in Panini Innovation.
Yeah.
They have not taken off in price the same way that like early Kabooms have or early Downtowns have. Stained Glass haven't taken off to that same degree. I think people are sleeping on that one.
Even the 2018 Stained Glass from Prism Football are actually pretty short.
They're really nice.
Like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes is in that set.
Beautiful set.
That's a really good looking
beautiful
set too. They have the golds and the blacks. Those are sick.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. People are sleeping on those. Okay. The market right now, as I mentioned, so hot. It will be harder to find opportunities this year. Are there still some market inefficiencies, though, that you think maybe exist as you look at this a little more broadly? Are there categories of cards or types of cards that you think could be sneaky buys this year?
I think there are always market efficiencies in just about every category. So I'm going to rattle off a list, and I kind of wanted to be a little bit comprehensive with this question. We talked about soccer. All-time greats, the top ones, we know Messi, Ronaldo, and the up-and-comers, we have Mbappe and Erling Haaland, and Yamal's market's been hot. I think you get into those earlier sets that are just lesser known. 2006 World Cup, some of these other sets early.
Yes, I love that one.
So I think if you can find really good cards, especially in the highest grade you can afford, of Ronaldinho, original Brazilian Ronaldo, Zidane, Iniesta, Drogba, Zlatan, Thierry Henry, some of those guys, Sergio Ramos, like some of these guys, like I think that's kind of a play. They don't have a lot of cards. You have to actually dig deep and do the research to figure out what's even out there for them. But man, if you can stumble across some of their best cards, I'm so bullish on soccer for the long term, because I see how much money and energy Topps is putting into it and PSA's expansion into Europe and all over the world. I think that market is just going to eventually, I don't know when, it's already hot for those top players. It might take a while, but I think some of them will blow up. I talked a lot about 90s cards for like baseball and football compared to basketball.
Yes.
I still think there's opportunity there. I've shifted a little bit like with football into more into the 2000s. Like, yes, the late 90s and into the 2000s. There's a movement that's been happening somewhat quietly, underground. It's very active on Instagram, and it's for like fantasy football goats. It's such a fantasy football, so popular. Everybody plays it if you watch NFL football. And those players going back, there's a lot of guys.
Like LT.
LaDainian Tomlinson's at the top of the list. Priest Holmes, the guy who got me to be a Chiefs fan 20 plus years ago. Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, Shaun Alexander, some of these early guys. Even getting into the receivers, the Andre Johnsons, Calvin Johnson, of course. And then just some of those goats that aren't Tom Brady. It's like, just come down to wrong. You and I have talked about this a million times. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees are two of the most undervalued 100%. Athletes on planet Earth. And I would throw Randy Moss into that mix, too. In terms of pure talent, I think he's number one all time. He's number two on my list behind Rice. I don't know how he could be ahead of Rice. But his cards are not expensive. They really are not expensive. And you can get some really cool ones. So I think you start pushing into that category, Terrell Owens, you know, some of these other guys like that. There's a lot of opportunity in there. And I think, you know, I've made that chart, I don't know if you remember, of like the typical collector journey, where people start out, if they collected when they were kids, they get back in, they're trying to figure out what's good, they're learning about the new sets, they buy into breaks and boxes, and they start just buying a whole bunch of stuff, and then they wake up one day and their whole desk is covered, and they're like, I don't know what to do. And they go through this whole process of consolidation, and they hit like that 2 to 4 year curve where suddenly they start to consolidate and sell, and they go back to what they most fondly remembered. And as we're now aging in, you and I have been back in the hobby for eight years or so. I think that's why the 2000s now. Like, it was kind of a weird dead era for sports cards that not a lot of people know about, but there were collectors. Scotty B from our team collected back in the 2000s and has fond memories. I think they're going to pick up there. If I look at the NBA, we've talked about this too, that sweet spot for age breakouts is in that like 25 to 29 range. So I start looking at players who are 24 years old, maybe 25, to say, can they take another step? Cade Cunningham, I'm finally a believer. I'm a Pistons fan, and I've held off on Cade for a long time. I'm going to be looking for a nice Cade card while I'm here, and maybe some of his Prism Silvers, which have dipped down. I'm excited about him. He's only 24. Cade Cunningham and Anthony Edwards are both only 24 years old right now. They have not hit their prime. I do not think they've hit their prime, so I'm really bullish on them. I also think Cooper Flagg's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's very expensive, but I do think he's the real deal. If I go to baseball, James Wood and Nick Kurtz. Kurtz has been down over the last month. He's like 6 of his last 42, so he's in a little bit of a slump. If I can find a really nice Nick Kurtz on a deal, I would probably pull the trigger. Between him and James Wood, I feel very strongly there's at least one MVP award in the future, maybe not too distant future, if not multiple between the two of them. Topps case hits. You just talked about Panini. Topps case hits are popular right now. They're very popular. I think all that energy, Reeves and all that crowd, that's what they like specialize in, are those types of cards from Panini. They're not making them anymore. It's only going to last for so long. The people who live in that space, a lot of the young adults, teens, they want the active players, they want the opportunity and the upside. They're going to shift into the All Kings, into the Ultraviolets, into the Alter Egos and stuff. And we're in the early years of those. They're only going to make more and more of them over time. That's just what's going to happen. And then the last oddball one, I'm still very bullish on pop culture cards in general. For people who are into that, if you have a favorite show or favorite movie or favorite band or something like that, Topps has talked about that in their industry conference, that they want to keep like getting IPs. And we've seen Magic doing funny things, Magic the Gathering with a lot of like film stuff. So I think like Star Wars type stuff, older Lord of the Rings autos are very popular. And even for me, like with Dune coming out later this year, as well as another Marvel movie, those two are, to me, interesting plays. Yeah. But who knows?
I like all those suggestions. I like all of those suggestions. I'll toss one in the mix that's maybe a little bit of a variant of one of yours. The 2000s football, and I might look to Tom Brady specifically, Topps Chrome, Bowman Chrome, Topps Pristine, some
awesome.
Of those types of sets,
so good.
The Refractors, the X-Fractors, some of the numbered cards. Brady stuff, it's still not that much. Yeah, a lot of those cards you can buy in the hundreds of dollars, sometimes even the lower hundreds of dollars for like a 2005 Tom Brady X-Fractor or something of that nature. And I see, like, you look over to basketball and you look at like LeBron's market through those years has gone absolutely wild. Kobe's market, if you look at like any LeBron refractor, X-fractor, you know, that type of thing from the 2000s from one of the major sets, they've gone berserk. Yeah. And Brady stuff's been hot as well, but it started from such a lower baseline that I still look at some of that stuff and I still feel like there's upside opportunity on some of that like 2000s, Brady in particular, and maybe some of the other names you mentioned as well. But I think people will come to appreciate the very low pop counts of those cards and the high quality look and production of those cards over time.
They're really nice. That era was, I didn't collect in that era outside of like for like 3 months in 2008 after I graduated college. I got bit by the bug and was like opening some boxes of stuff. And that was it. And so that whole era for a lot of people who collected when they were in the 80s and 90s, they just didn't.
It's a dead era. Yeah.
Go discover the 2000s. There's some really cool cards.
There you go. Okay, let's switch. Let's kind of switch this a little bit. What is a player that people are chasing currently that you just want to avoid?
Yeah. There's one that comes to mind for me that I think is a big trap. To quote Admiral Akbar, it's a trap. I think it's Drake May. I think Drake May did have the easiest schedule to the Super Bowl of any team, of any quarterback in any team since Kurt Warner's Rams back in 2000. And he didn't look good in the playoffs, and he didn't look good against top defenses that he played in the regular season last year. That is not me saying Drake May won't be a good quarterback or isn't a good quarterback, but I see on Instagram constantly people ranking their top 10 quarterbacks in the league and whatever. And the number of people who put Drake May above Jared Goff, even above Matthew Stafford I'm like, all right, I know he was runner-up for MVP. He had an amazing season. Their schedule was gravy. Their schedule is not gravy this upcoming season. It is very difficult. I rely a lot on strength of schedule going into years to try to decide which NFL players in particular to watch. And it's only 17 games. So you look at it, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect science. Teams surprise us, other teams disappoint. But Drake May, I'm a little worried about. I think it could be a bit of a trap. Similar to what we saw, I know C.J. Stroud had the great rookie season. Jaden Daniels had the great rookie season. This was Drake May's second season, but still, I think it could be a trap. And the other one is just, I toyed with the idea of buying some of his cards. I couldn't bring myself to do it, Jeff. You know Caleb Williams. I couldn't do it.
I was going to say.
He played at USC, I'm a Detroit guy, and he plays for the Bears. I will admit fully, he has all the talent in the world. The arm talent is insane. He was not as consistent last year as people think. In fact, for the first three quarters of most games, he wasn't particularly good. He was phenomenal in fourth quarters of the game with his back against a wall, which for a young quarterback, you get excited about. You're like, wow, this guy's going to go out and like, I saw that early in the career with Matthew Stafford, and we've seen what that's done. But Williams' market is rising. The last 2 weeks, his cards are up like 30-35% on his more liquid stuff. And so I think the window's been missed. Yeah. I think we're going to get into the regular season. My prediction for the Bears, and maybe this is being a homer, I think they're going to start out about 500 through their first 8 games of the season. They have a tougher schedule. Maybe I'll be wrong and everybody will laugh at me, but right now I'm not. I think it's too hot on Caleb Williams. I'm not buying him.
I think those are fair. My answer actually is going to expand this a little bit and just say most young quarterbacks in general. It's been so tough in recent years, and I think the hobby has kind of started almost to wake up to the fact a little bit that like the rampant speculation on young quarterbacks, it is almost always a losing battle.
Yeah,
and
tough.
Then even when you finally hit it with one, C.J. Stroud in 2023, Jaden Daniels in 2024, and you found the right guy and his stuff went up triple during the course of the season and you're feeling great about it, then the following season comes around and if you haven't sold it, you're probably setting yourself up for disappointment because with both of those guys, they were hot as could be rookie year, down second year. And you just talked about Drake May. That may happen to him, as you said, this season. So it's just speculating on the young quarterbacks is such a difficult play.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot more of it than I do now. And my record on it wasn't great. It wasn't great on the speculation on the young quarterbacks. It was a pretty awful record.
That's kind of the biggest meme for you. Like,
of course,
the one people give you the hardest.
It's fair.
Time for.
It's fair. Yeah, I struck out on a bunch, and so you know I've kind of come around and said, okay, you know what, I still enjoy playing in that world a little bit.
Yeah.
It's you know it's I'm always gonna play a little bit speculative and a little bit prospecting, but I'd much rather put you know the majority of my card money into cards that I feel like likely aren't going to possibly be worth, you know, 80% less in 2 years if it doesn't pan out. So Yeah. You know, I've been a little more cautious. Okay, but the opposite of this, maybe somebody who people are sleeping on right now, who you're kind of high on, who is there a sneaky person that you're looking at right now?
Well, one of the things that both shocked me and then didn't surprise me at all was the reaction by quite a few people after Spain won the World Cup and Lamine Yamal at age 19, freshly age 19, just won the World Cup. And people were like, this guy stinks. He only scored one goal and had one assist. He didn't do anything. And I'm like, okay, tell me you don't understand soccer without telling me you don't understand soccer. And I'm not a soccer expert, but I know enough about it to watch this guy get double and triple attacked when he's got the ball, watch the number of successful dribbles and passes. He's phenomenal. So apparently I'm much higher on Lamine Yamal than a lot of people are now, but I still think he's got a lot of staying power. The one that I got to mention, though, is Jared Goff. And this is a homer pick for me, but when Jared Goff came to Detroit, I wasn't sold. I was really happy for Matthew Stafford going to the Rams, and I was excited about the prospect at that time of him winning a Super Bowl because I was like, it's never going to happen in Detroit. Jared Goff has come to Detroit and has been the best quarterback Detroit's ever had through the seasons we've had with him. And Stafford's our best quarterback of all time. But Jared Goff, number one in passing yards over the last 4 years by a margin of 8% over Mahomes. Now, Mahomes missed some time last year. Number one in passing touchdowns by a margin of 11% over Josh Allen. Number three in wins in that time frame with just a few, fewer than Allen and Mahomes. And only Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson have more wins than Jared Goff since 2018. He is an absolutely elite quarterback. Yes, he has weapons. Goff slander will not be tolerated while I'm around. I am very high on him, and I think his rookie card should be a lot more expensive.
They're very inexpensive.
He's really good.
I couldn't believe I had last year. I had one of his National Treasures rookies, and it was $600 or something. I'm like, how is this possibly so cheap for a National Treasures patch auto?
Is
number to 25. I don't think it was his true one, but it was one of the variants that year, Colossal Materials or something. It's like $550 or something. I'm like, what?
It reminds me a lot of Stafford at this point through his career.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Rams and won a Super Bowl. I hope Goff can win it with Detroit. But he's just been a heck of a quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. Yeah. I totally agree. He's also a nice guy. I like him too.
Yeah.
He's maybe doesn't have the most electric personality, but I find him enjoyable.
He's low-key hilarious.
Yes.
There's a video from years ago where he put on a wig and pretended to not be Jared Goff and went and competed at like a D2 tryout and was just lighting up the field, and these guys were like, who is this guy? And then he, you know, takes the wig off. It's like 6 minutes, so it's worth watching.
Okay. Yeah. All right, there you go. I'm gonna throw out a name that people are probably gonna be like, this is maybe not a fair name to throw out, because my question was, who are other people kind of sleeping on who I think is gonna go up a lot this year? I'm just gonna say Cooper Flagg.
And
you could say, well, people aren't really sleeping on him, but I would say that to a degree, they are, in the same way that last offseason, it was very obvious to both of us last offseason when we looked at Victor Wembanyama's card prices.
Yep.
A player who also people would say, well, no one's sleeping on Victor Wembanyama. Yet they were. And we looked at his cards last offseason, and both of us are like, dude, his cards are going to go up a lot during the season and the playoffs. The Spurs are going to be a lot better. His stuff's just going to go up. It's going to go up. And sure enough, you know, and there was always the little bit of a question about health with him. And so that was the danger. He obviously had the health issues, so his cards were down quite a bit as a result of that. Cooper Flagg, it's a little bit of a different situation in that he's not coming off like health issues or anything like that that has driven his market down. But I still think, I'm like, this guy, I believe he's going to be a generational talent, and they don't come along very often. And I think when you zoom back out, you know, 10 or 20 years from now, and you look at the 2020s, I think you're going to think of Wemby, and I think you're going to think of Cooper Flagg probably above anyone else in the decade. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think with Wemby, everybody can see that, and that looks okay. Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Now, assuming he stays healthy, that will be the case. Yeah. Cooper Flagg, it's still a little too early to know for sure, but I just feel like this guy's got all the elements. He set records last year, scoring records in games. He apparently grew 2 inches this offseason.
Yeah.
He's got all the and people forget how young he is. He was supposed to last year. He was supposed to be a college freshman, but he classed up. You know, so he went to Duke as like a 17-year-old. He gets in the NBA as an 18-year-old. People forget that. So super young, huge career ahead of him. I still think Cooper Flagg's low compared to where he'll eventually be.
When he came into the league before he started and made his NBA debut, I always like to make player comps of like, what's the worst case scenario, most, you know, best case, and in between. And my like low end comp for him was like Sean Marion or Andrei Kirilenko. Like, he's lanky, he's defensive, he's good, he can play make, and we'll know he'll be able to score enough. Like, I was like, baseline is like 15 a game for this guy in his career. He already showed enough flashes. Post All-Star game, he really started to come into his own. He had some big scoring performances, and he's so young. He's showing all those flashes. Like you said, he's growing. So now you're looking at him going, well, if this guy can even develop like 60% of Jokic's passing capability at that size, we don't even know if he's done growing. 6'11 with a crazy wingspan, and he develops 60, 70% of Giannis's defensive prowess, and he can really develop a consistent mid-game jump shot, that is a deadly lethal combo for a guy that size. He's really fun to watch.
The other one, I didn't know if you were going to go here, but the other one I know you've said before, I've heard other people say, I completely agree with, is Asia Wilson.
Yeah, she's the GOAT.
And I mean, her cards are not worth much, especially if you compare them to Caitlin Clark or Paige Beckers.
Yes.
You know, players like that.
Yeah, they're super, super affordable for her best cards. I think if you can track them down, I'll let you know if I see any.
There you go. Yeah. All right, let's zoom out here a little bit before we wrap. I want to talk about the National just a little bit in general. What is the biggest mistake that collectors make when buying at the National?
Buying the first cool thing you think you see, and then just losing your whole budget when maybe you're planning on being here for 2 or 3 days is a big mistake. That typically happens if you don't come with some kind of a game plan. You don't need to come with like a specific, you know, Bible that you can only follow these 10 cards you're targeting. That can actually be a trap to not have a good time, but I see it a lot. I was here 2 years ago, obviously, I was at the National, and I don't remember who it was, but somebody came up to me the first day, and they were like, well, I came with $2,500, and I just bought this card, and it's amazing, but now I feel weird, because I'm excited, but also I have no money left, you know? So that can happen. I don't know, I guess it's still cool to walk around and look for things. The flip side of that can be true, too, though. Maybe the bigger mistake is you see the card that is on your list, you came prepared, you find that Barry Sanders gold kaboom, you're like, I got to think about it until tomorrow. And you come back to it, and that car will not be there. If it is that desirable, that rare, and priced even remotely reasonably, it will not be there. It'll be maybe into somebody's, you know, Zion case for trade night or something, trying to make some profit, but it will not be there very long. And I think both of those can be really dangerous.
And that's the problem, is trying to figure out which one it is. Is it like, oh, I should hold off and walk around a little more? Or is it, if I leave this item, I won't find it again?
Yep.
And to me, that distinction comes down really probably to the rarity and uniqueness of the item. I was going to say the second part of what you answered as my answer. Like, one of my core memories of the National was a few years ago, when I went to a dealer who had all of these signed Michael Jordan Sports Illustrated magazines.
I remember this.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I really kind of fell in love. Beautiful magazines, beautiful presentations. And I bought two of them. Well, actually, I didn't buy any of them at the moment. I was like, he had several.
Yeah.
And there were three that I really, really wanted. Those were Jordan's first three. The very first one, he's in college with North Carolina. The second one, he's in the Olympics. And then the third one, he's with the Chicago Bulls. And I'm like, I really want all three of these because I think they're special. I walked away from the table. I went and I thought about it. I walked around a little bit more. I came back that same day, and the Chicago Bulls one had sold. And that was actually the one I wanted the most of the three, because I'm like, that's the Chicago Bulls debut rookie, you know, magazine. And so it was like, oh my gosh. So, and I've had a couple of experiences like that over the years. So if it's something like that where you're unlikely to see it again, you might want to act on it. If it's a card that you probably can find somewhere else, or, you know, whatever, then, you know, you can definitely be a little more patient and get to keep walking around.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Couple final questions. If you were coming to the National on a more limited budget, maybe $1,000, $2,000, let's say.
Yeah.
How would you hunt with that type of budget? How would you approach that? What would you hunt for?
I mean, I think it starts with, I always ask people, like, what are your goals? What are you trying to do? Are you just trying to pick up PC cards? Are you trying to go after something? Let's take this from the angle, though, that you're maybe trying to thread that needle that I always say of, like, you know, collect what you like, invest in what others like, try to find that join in the two of those things so you can get something really cool. If you want to work a network, I think there's a lot of cards. This goes back to some of the like opportunities right now of all-time greats who aren't on the Mount Rushmore of all-time greats, but are truly really like greats, especially at their positions in football, defensive players, whatever. And look for stuff that you just don't see. If there hasn't been a sale ever or recently, or it's some, you know, low pop or just really tough to come by, refractor, insert, something like that, and you see one of those, you can buy those, and if you're, if you have somewhat of an established network, you have an Instagram presence, a YouTube channel, a shop, so you're a dealer, that's the type of things that you can really enjoy owning and just wait and see what happens. And sometimes those cards absolutely pop off, and maybe today $2,000 is the price you're comfortable with for that card, and it's the price you're willing to pay, and maybe next year it's 10K, and you're like, well, I wouldn't have bought it at 10K, and so I'm comfortable letting it go to somebody who wants it more, and I'm gonna go find the next one that I'll enjoy owning in my PC. I know some people see that as like a weird cardinal sin, but you and I both, we've done that many times, and that can be a really effective way to grow the quality of your collection over time as well. And then I would say, if you see some things, like, just get the cash deal done, try to negotiate it, and you know, you can approach it with that budget. You can also spread it out and come home with a Zion case full of really cool stuff, start building out your binders. There's a lot of strategies, but that's the one that kind of comes to mind to me. And you do see a lot of stuff at the National you never see anywhere else.
Is it a different strategy for someone who's coming to the National with a lot of money to spend? $200,000, if they're, as opposed to $2,000. Does that change the strategy or approach at all?
We see record-breaking sales now every single week on Fanatics, on Golden, on Heritage, on eBay. We see it all over the place. And a lot of those record-breaking sales on a lot of new stuff. And a lot of new stuff where I get a little bit concerned, because I don't know that the people buying them realize how many Super Fractor autos Lamine Yamal has, or how many one-of-one autos Cooper Flagg has. They're out there. There's a lot of them. And these big price tags, if I had that kind of a budget, $200,000, I'd be a lot more careful, a lot more intentional. I might still be going back into that GOATS type tier. You can do one of two things. You could try to go out and go back to that soccer list I did and just be like, I want to try to go pick up the rarest or best card I can find of each of those aforementioned players that I said, and come back and be like, check out this showcase. This is unbelievable. And you can sit and wait. Or you can go back to the iconic stuff. And I know the GOAT market's been really hot, but I've been talking a lot about the Upper Deck, you know, Griffey rookie in PSA 10 conditions, been rising. If your plan is long-term, I just still don't think you can go wrong with buying the iconic GOATs. I just don't. Just like historically, at least, you just can't go wrong with investing in the S&P 500, you know, put it in there, send it to one of the vaulting options, or put it in your fire safe or whatever, get it insured, and you could have that, and you could pull them out and enjoy it or look at them that way too. I just think I wouldn't be comfortable taking that big of a swing on some of these new players. It can work out if they wind up being the all-time great, but I think rarely does it pay off. Like
it's high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
My advice, if you're spending that kind of money, get here as early as you can.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the most unique things, the best opportunities are there right at the beginning of the show. But if it's a good deal, a good opportunity, something really unique, something noteworthy, it may be gone a couple hours into the show.
Yeah.
So if you're watching at home and you're coming to the National, get in the car, hop on the plane, get here, and try to get here right when the doors open and find some of those early buys.
Some of the guys who play in that space, they're hunters, man.
Yeah,
and
they
are networked. So you've got the odds stacked against you if you're not networked, yep, and connected, because people just know who to call too.
100%. Okay, final question. As fast forward a week, as you're looking back on this year's National, once it's over, what would have made it a successful National for you?
I'm really proud of the effort that my team's been putting into Market Movers. I know I say that to pump, but like, we've pushed out some good releases this year thus far. We're right up against trying to get some new cool stuff out in time for this National. We've kind of hit our stride. We've done a lot of work to shore up our infrastructure and things, and we're putting a lot of energy into mobile, and web is going to get a complete overhaul. So obviously that's my job. That's my team's responsibility. I'd love for everybody to try Market Movers. Just try it. I think, well, I don't know what our code is for that. Is it just National? Code National. 30
one,
days.
One month free.
1 month free.
And 30% off
it's
for life.
That's the best deal you're going to get all year on it. Just try it out. And I know that's
like a
you got
to sign
thing
up through the web for that. You got to go to sportscardinvestor.com and click Market Movers.
Yeah.
Code National.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So try that out. You know, the other big thing is just it always feels successful. This is it is an exhausting week. It's a fun week, and we're all exhausted by the end of it. We put a lot of energy into it, but it's like the highlight of every year. Just
100%.
Everybody who walks up and they're just like, thank you for the content. Thank you for the education. Thank you for the entertainment. Thank you for the digital apps. Thank you for Cards HQ. So excited you're going to be coming to Detroit. Where else are you guys going next year? And people are excited about that. That is something that not everybody gets at their job. A lot of people don't get that at their job. And we get to come here in this hobby that we love, and then on top of it, have so many people come and say what it means to them, that's a big success for me.
Those are awesome things. Totally agree. It's the funnest week of the year. We call it the Super Bowl. For our team, it's the week when our videos get watched the most, our social posts get a lot of interaction. Cards HQ is able to buy more, you know, for the store than we're able to buy at any week of the year. Yeah. More people sign up for Market Movers. It's just the engagement across the board with everything we do peaks this week. And so it's our Super Bowl. And I always, like, my favorite, when I look back, my favorite moment of the week, hopefully, will be the Sunday night team dinner when it's all said and done, when the week's over and everyone's exhausted from our team, because man, are they exhausted, because we go hard this week. Yeah. We work our tails off this week.
Your voice is usually gone.
Oh, totally gone. And you know, but the end of the week, that moment, it's like we packed up the booth, we're done, we go to the team dinner. It's just such an amazing moment of just like celebration and team togetherness. Yeah. And I really look forward to another great one of those, hopefully
Absolutely.
This Sunday.
Let's do
awesome.
It.
Okay. That's it, guys. We are, we're going to wrap. They're finishing setting up behind us, and we're going to get ready for all of the videos that are coming out this week across all of our channels. So please stay tuned. Please stay subscribed. Thanks for watching. And we hope to see you at the National.